From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Kavitha George with this news. Last June, Alaska Seaplanes began offering the only direct flights from Juneau to Whitehorse three times a week. They stopped running in September, but they're planning to continue offering the seasonal flight next spring. General Manager Carl Ramseth said that the business was a little slow at the beginning, but it picked up as the summer went on. He says there were some permitting delays with the Canadian government that pushed their first flight back to June 15th.
So that put us in a tough spot for the summer of 2018.
The trip is just 55 minutes in a 9-seat, fully pressurized Pilatus PC-12. Compared to an hours-long ferry ride to Skagway plus a 2.5-hour drive into the Yukon, or alternatively flying through Seattle and back up, it's a big time saver. It's also gotten a lot of support from tourism organizations in Juneau and Whitehorse. Liz Perry, president and CEO of Travel Juneau, says that the direct flight creates the opportunity to market Southeast Alaska and Western Yukon as one travel destination.
There are lots of opportunities for Juneauites to travel to Whitehorse and for residents of Whitehorse to come down to Juneau and experience, you know, sitting by the water and getting some fishing in and doing things that they can't do up there. People could ostensibly, you know, start their trip either in Juneau or Whitehorse and then make the extended trip up either up into the Yukon or down south into Southeast Alaska.
Robin Anderson, Global Marketing Manager at Tourism Yukon, agrees. He says that since the Yukon and Southeast Alaska are often a combined destination for travelers, having a direct flight helps tourism on both ends. On top of that, he says Yukoners visiting Southeast appreciate the shortened travel time.
Yukoners think pretty highly of Southeast. There's, you know, a lot of Yukoners even own property in places like Haines or Skagway, or, you know, we go fishing in Yakutat and Hoonah. And anecdotally, what I'm hearing from friends and family here in the territory is it's pretty exciting to have the service between the two capitals.
Ramseth says that the 2019 season will kick off on April 23rd. Yesterday marked the end of a three-day language summit in Juneau that brought together Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian speakers. KTOO's Zoe Gruskin sat in on a session at Centennial Hall and met one speaker reconnecting with his language roots.
Voices of Our Ancestors Language Summit brought together nearly 80 speakers of Southeast Alaska's native languages. For some, it was one of their first opportunities to talk with other fluent speakers.
I'm a Tlingit speaker, but I have lived away from Yakutat for over 40 years.
That's Jim Thomas. Tlingit names Katsutik and Shayugan. Thomas spoke during an open discussion about the suppression of native languages. I met him on a break just after the session, in the foyer of Centennial Hall. He had a door propped open with his foot to get some cool air. Thomas was the first director of public relations for the Alaska Federation of Natives. Then he moved to Washington State. Despite living far from home, he had help keeping up his Tlingit over the years.
This crazy minister from Juneau called me up. He said to me, he said, "It's time you started speaking Tlingit."
That was his friend, the late Walter Sobeloff. Thomas says he's a pretty good speaker.
They're just words, phrases that I forget. They tumble around in your brain and then they tumble around in your mouth because Tlingit is very complex.
Thomas says he used to be ashamed to forget words, but now when he needs help, he just asks a friend or relative and keeps talking. Often, that help comes from his young in-law, Tlingit teacher and culture bearer, Paul Marks II. During the session on language suppression, Thomas sat beside Marks, and Marks' baby. Thomas used his turn on the mic to introduce the baby girl, and he told the crowd that holding on to language and cultural traditions can be especially important for young children.
And one of those words that I told them that we need to remember is achkanku. You know, it's we put our hand, the palm of our hand, under the chin of a child, and we say achkanku. And that means you are the most precious child on the face of the earth. And then if we're sitting across from them in the biggest hall, you hold your hand out.
Dozens in the room mirrored his gesture as he spoke.
And you go, chuk, chuk. And that child knows that they are the most precious being on the face of the earth.
The crowd repeated Thomas's words as Marks bounced the baby. Thomas hopes she will grow up speaking Tlingit. The summit was organized by Sea Alaska Heritage Institute in partnership with the Gold Belt Heritage Foundation. Around 300 people attended over 3 days. In Juneau, I'm Zoe Gruskin.
And this just in, Governor-elect Mike Dunleavy's transition team has asked all state workers who serve at the pleasure of the governor to resign and reapply for their jobs. While it's customary for new administrators to ask some employees to resign, Dunleavy's transition broadened the request to include all at-will workers. Governor-elect Mike Dunleavy wants to freeze any new regulations the Walker administration may have imposed in Alaska going back to Election Day. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman talked with people familiar with the legal protocol around regulations about what's next.
Governor-elect Dunleavy says a pause on regulations will give his team an opportunity to assess, quote, whether they're needed or whether they'll hurt the economy, end quote. Dunleavy's pick to become commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources, Corey Feige, says close examination of regulations that affect developing natural resources is important.
We need a few days to or a few weeks to get our heads around where we're at now. I very much appreciate the freeze with regulations so we have the opportunity to take that pause, like I said, understand where we're at, and then clearly in the face of maximizing resource development and getting the state's economy back in motion, what needs to be done with those regulations and with the programs that are in place to ensure that we are executing on that goal.
Five of the proposed new rules relate to regulating the sale of marijuana. Erica McConnell is the director of the state's Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office. She says some of the rules are being sought by businesses. They want to know exactly what the law means.
Some of the regulations that are proposed actually were proposed because the existing regulation was really too restrictive on the licensee community.
And McConnell says a lot of work went into these regulations. Work on some proposed rules started last year. Dunleavy's request for a freeze may not have any real effect on what the Walker administration has planned. Walker spokesman Austin Baird said in an email that there are no new regulations that would restrict resource development. Baird wrote Walker will, quote, continue to champion responsible development of Alaska's vast natural resources from oil and gas to minerals to timber, end quote. Baird says in the Walker administration's final weeks in office, it will continue working to open the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, to establish a management plan for the Tongass National Forest, and to continue work on development within the National Petroleum Reserve.
I sort of saw it all when I was in Alaska. We had travel freezes and, you know, new hiring freezes and regulation freezes and, you know, it doesn't take long before all those freezes start to melt as the new administration gets in there and gets more comfortable. You know, they're new, so they need a chance to catch up. And I don't find new governors coming in and doing that kind of thing particularly alarming.
Lieutenant governors oversee the publication and adoption of regulations in Alaska. Fran Ulmer, who served as lieutenant governor from 1994 to 2002, says she's not aware of any authority to freeze regulations. In an email, Ulmer noted that many regulations have nothing to do with economic growth. But John Limbach, who served as Ulmer's chief of staff, says it's not unprecedented. He's also worked with state governments in Oregon and other states. He says he's seen governors seek a pause to new rules before. It's not yet clear exactly which regulations Dunleavy's freeze would cover. There are four rules that are already published, but which won't go into effect until after Dunleavy is sworn in on December 3rd. And there are eight rules that the state has opened for comment from the public, but which haven't been adopted yet. With help from Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage, in Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
It's 33 degrees and overcast at Juneau International Airport. You're listening to KTOO Juneau.